good to see all of you out tonight. Today, Sue and I went to her great niece's funeral over in Tallahassee. She was 44 years old. And, Monday morning, I guess it was, her daughter her mom hadn't got her up to go to school. It's my understanding she goes in there and her mother's dead. It just reminds us all of the brevity of life. And the guy that spoke today at her funeral talked about that song, "I Don't Know What Holds Tomorrow. I just know what holds my hand." But he said, you're right, you don't know about tomorrow. You don't even know about today. You don't know about the next 5 minutes or something like that. He says, life goes by so fast. Doesn't matter if you live to be old, 80, 90, 100 years old, life goes by fast. And it sure does go by fast. Where are the friends? Where are the classmates of your childhood that you played with years ago? Many of them's gone on, haven't they? We go travel around, you see cemeteries. Wherever you go, some small towns sometimes, large cemeteries. You just don't know about when our life will be over. So we know we've got to be prepared. But do you ever feel like that you just kind of live in a circle of sin? You ever feel that way about your life, that you do the same old sins you was doing last year or year before last? You ever feel that way? You feel like you're not getting any better? You're just kind of treading water? You ever feel like you are? You ever go to church on Sunday and maybe you're heading home and you feel good, the sermon was just for you, you just feel good about yourself, you feel like you can just do things that you hadn't done before with your life and live closer to God than you've lived before? But then, maybe a day or two, a week later, you kind of fall back into your old habit. You feel like that you haven't made any progress. Well, that's what Satan wants you to feel like, that you can't make progress. He wants you to feel like that you cannot overcome sin, you cannot be any better. Because he wants you to feel down. And the more down you feel, the more he can control your life. The more you get feeling like, I can't do it, I can't overcome sin, I'm just going to always be this way, I'm not going to ever do any better. So he controls your life more. How can we overcome sin? Will we always be on this merry-go-round of sin? Or are we better than we were last year? Do we feel like we are? Do you feel like you're stronger than you were last year? Do you feel like you're closer to God than you were last week or yesterday? Somebody said something one time, a long time ago, I heard it said, can you live for God one day? If you knew that's your last day on earth, can you live for God this day? And of course, our answer is going to be yes. I think we all would say that I can do it one day. Well, that's what God wants us to do. One day at a time, we do His will. In James, the first chapter, in verse 21, James says this. James 1 and 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And what it means is strip yourself of everything that soils you and of everything that will grow into evil. Some things are not evil, but they will grow into evil. At the time, they're not, but you know they're going in the wrong direction, and you know that you don't need to do that or have time for that or whatever it is. So that's what he's saying. So strip yourself. Lay apart. And then he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so, number one, if I'm going to overcome sin, I have got to have a teachable spirit. Okay? Receive with meekness. And so, if I take God's word and say, well, I can't do it, or I don't like it, or I'm not going to do that, and I don't receive with meekness this engrafted word, I'm never going to change, am I? Now, you may have your own opinion about this, but I believe that's one of the most important things in a person's life is this teachable spirit or humble spirit. There's something about it that nothing else can take its place. Because all through the Bible, the big sin is pride. That's right. Over and over again, we read about pride in the Bible. That's a problem. It's always, seems to me, been a problem. You know, Satan was cast out because of pride. That's why he's in the Garden of Eden, because of pride. The war in heaven, he lost. He's in the Garden of Eden. And so he wants you to be filled with pride. He wants you to be prideful. In fact, in the old Bible, you might remember what the sixth thing that God hates. You know what one of them is? Just a proud look. You said, just a proud look, that's pretty bad. But we talk about something much about a proud look. You ever look in the mirror sometime, and you comb your hair, and you get all fixed up, and everything, and you smile at yourself, and you kind of feel, you got that pride, you like what you see. You ever do that? A proud look. You say, well, I'm not out in public doing it. But you still got that proud look, and that pride is still there. So he says, receive with meekness this engrafted word. So if I'm going to overcome sin, I've got to receive it with meekness, don't I? Let me say something else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll talk about something that we may do sometimes. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, as we compare ourselves with each other. Now, I know we've got people that we feel like that they live close to God. They may have gone through a lot. And whatever they say, many times we feel like it's the gospel. We feel like it's the way to live and the way we live it. But Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measured themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now, if I'm going to have a teachable spirit, maybe this is what God says. I can't compare myself. You can't compare yourself among other brethren. You can't do that. That don't mean you won't listen to some of the things they say. And the reason you listen to it is because it comes out of God's Word. So if I don't overcome sin in my life, I have got to have a teachable spirit. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom in these mighty works? Is not this a carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Who is he to tell us what to do? How to live? Why, we knew him when he was just a little fellow. We know his mother. We know his brethren. What's he doing telling us? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Which then hath this man all these things? But how does he know so much? And they were offended in him. Isn't that interesting? Shows you human nature, doesn't it? But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own his country and in his own house. And look at verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Isn't that sad? You ever know that happened? Some
Young brother, maybe he raised up here among you. He's here when he's a little fella. Raised him up. He gets up, 16, 17 years old. He starts making even sermons and preaching. Maybe he corrects you about something you're doing. I saw that happen. I saw this one time I stand in the pulpit and call down some of his own brother's children. Said, if y'all will be quiet, we'll go, I'll go on with the sermon. That building got just as quiet. He's like 16 years old. Place got real quiet. What are you doing telling me? What are you doing telling my children to be quiet? A teachable spirit. How do we fit in with this? Is this something we say, well, it's way out there, we can't do it? Or do we have a teachable spirit? Do you feel like you have a teachable spirit? I know we like to be right. It's hard to admit being wrong, isn't it? You know, the Bible talks about that. The way every man is clean in his own eyes. Did you know the Bible says that? The way of every man, every, E-V-E-R-Y, every man is clean in his own eyes. This is the Son of us. He said, every man is clean in my eyes. Why? What do you think? What do you think caused that? You think it's not pride? I think it is. That's my opinion. Because we like to be right. We like to say, I told you so. I knew all the time that's the way it was. Oh, really? You're not exaggerating? You know, Brad's here tonight. He said something. I've used this last time, Brad. He said something. As old as I am, I never really thought about it one time. It's Sunday there at Willow Creek. Something about exaggeration. He said, if you exaggerate, you've lied. I said, I'm thinking, you're right. But I never thought of that. You think I would have? He said, if you exaggerate, you've lied. You say, well, I knew all the time that's the way it was. Well, maybe you did. Okay. If you did, okay. But did you really know that? Do we really have this teachable spirit? Do we get offended in people that was like Jesus here, that was all around them all these years, and all of a sudden you're teaching, and all of a sudden you say, I'm not listening to you. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He did not many mighty works. They were their own worst enemy. That's right. Because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, which is lovers of money, boasters, which is arrogant, proud, blasphemers or abusers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. How many of us are thankful? Sometimes. We have to go to a place like some of you brethren's been, to Africa, probably to really be thankful. Unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means without self-control, fierce, despising of those that are good, traitors, heady, which means headstrong, high-minded, which means prideful, in the last days he said everyone will come, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But then he goes on to say in verse 5 something real interesting about all these people he's talked about.
having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Love is a pleasure, high-minded, but having a form of godliness. We must have a teachable spirit. If you're going to overcome sin, you've got to be willing to say, Lord, you speak, and I will listen, and I will do it. I know, and let me tell you, huh, you young people here, the older you get, the more you get spot in your ways, as they say. That's right. Old habits are hard to break. It is. It's hard to break. Because you get the habit of doing things, and that's the way you've done it for years, and you've lived this long, and you feel like everything's okay. But now, can young people teach us? You better believe they can. They teach you a lot of things. They can. But can older people teach you young people? You better believe they can. And you listen to what they've got to say. Did you just read what he said, disobedient to parents? Listen to your mom and dad. See, they love you. They care about you. They care about your well-being. They live longer than you. You listen to what they've got to say. So first of all, we've got to have a teachable spirit. Number two, we've got to handle temptation. We've got to handle temptation. Sue and I, we love Oreo cookies. Both of us. The other day, we wanted to get a pack. But so we set a limit on what we can have every day. They usually don't last long around the house. It's me and her. So, okay, you have this many a day. Not 35. No. She'd have just, she said she's going to take two a day, me three a day. But they're tempting to me when I see those things around the counter. They are. When I'm okay to eat one. You get a good glass of milk, Oreo, hard to beat, me. But you know, some people just can walk by things and quit things. I know a man that smoked for years. Well, you know him too, W.C. And he laid them down. He just flat out quit. J.W. Morgan did too. I think W.C. encouraged them to, however they encourage each other. But they just quit. And yet, some people have a hard time. They quit several times and go back. Temptation. We've got to handle temptation. What tempts you? You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And so, whatever temptation comes our way, it's just common to man. We feel like sometimes, well, mine is kind of unique, but it's not. It's just common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you or suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But where will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? So whatever it is that we're tempted with, he says he will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. Now, you read the stories of Paul sometimes and what he went through, the beatings. You read about Jesus' life and what he went through. How he suffered. I've never faced anything like that. But sometimes our temptations, we may give in to them. We may say, well, nobody's perfect. James talks also about this. James 1st chapter said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So our lust, we're drawn away by what we lust for. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is not variable. We're variable. God is not variable. He doesn't turn away. He's always there. So if you say, I'm tempted of God, he says, you're not tempted of God. God does not tempt you. Remember in the Garden of Eden, what Satan said, he still uses that same tactic today. Three things he does. He told the man and woman, thou shalt not surely die. He denies God's word. Then he went on to say, God doth know in the day you eat thereof, you should be as God. You should know good and evil. What's he do, number two? Applies to human pride. That's what he did. Oh, is that right? We should be as gods? Oh, you hear that, Adam? This is what the devil says. He appeals to your pride. He denies God's word. And so what else he appeals to? Your reasoning. The woman looked on the tree, saw the tree to be desired to make more wise. Begin to reason, you know. I don't see what's wrong with this. He does that today still. He denies God's word. He appeals to your pride. He appeals to your reason. You're trying to reason something around something. You compare yourself to somebody else. Well, they do it. They say it's okay. So why can't I do it? We're getting a reason, trying to reason away, and so we can what? Feel better about ourselves. That's what he said. The way that man is putting his own eyes. So what I want to do, I want to reason it out so I can feel better and I won't be depressed about what I'm doing. In Hebrews chapter 4, talked about our Lord being tempted. 4 and 15. Like we are. For we have not a high priest in Hebrews 4 and 15, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And we have those, don't we? We have feelings of infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So our Lord was tempted as you and I are tempted today. Now just accept that. Because we know it's true. Don't say it. Don't start saying, well, he's God's son or whatever. He was tempted like we are today. And yet he lived without sin. So if I'm going to overcome sin in my life, I've got to have a teachable spirit. And I've got to handle temptation. You've got to remember too, God's your helper. You're not fighting this battle by yourself. No, sir. Not by any means. Not even close to being by yourself. You know, Paul talked about his life in Philippians chapter 4. In verse 13, it's like I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things. He talked before that about his life. He said, I don't speak in respect of want. In verse 11 he said, I have learned that whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Do what now? I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. He wasn't boasting, brethren. continue to fast through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm going to tell you, it's like that man said today at that funeral, telling that family, he said, there's some tough days coming for you. That's right. You've lost your mother. You've lost your child. You've lost your grandchild. There's going to be some tough days ahead for you. You don't know what lies ahead. You really don't know what lies ahead in this life. Like that guy said, you don't know about tomorrow. No, you don't even know about today. You don't know about the next 5 minutes. What's going to be? But God's going to be with you. Jesus calls us in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. And we go through this life, many people do without the Lord, trying to bear our own burdens, trying to make it without Him. It's like a little story I read one time about this man walking down the road with his big old sack on his back, and he comes behind a wagon. He stops. He says, come on, friend, I'll give you a ride. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So he climbs up in that wagon, that man, gets that old big sack and pulls it up in the wagon, sits down in the seat and puts that sack back on his back. Driver of the wagon says, lady, sack there in the floor. He said, oh, no, said, I couldn't ask you to do that. He said, you good enough to let me give me a ride. I couldn't ask you to carry my heavy sack also. You know, think about that for a minute. We're kind of like that sometimes about the Lord, aren't we? We don't let Him carry our burdens. But Jesus says, come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's so important that you learn of the Lord. Because the more you learn, the more you love, and the more you'll serve. That's right. You read the Bible. It affects your thinking. It affects what you're going to do. Because you care. There's no way you can read the story of Jesus Christ dying on the cross without being touched. I don't believe that anybody can do that without being touched. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest and do your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So see if you're going to overcome sin. Remember, God is your helper. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He don't say anything about being strong in your money. He don't say anything about you being strong in your own strength. He don't say a thing about you being strong in your own mind. Does he? I know people are smart today. They can do a lot of things. They're strong. That's right. They can do a lot of things. But Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the old devil is wild, isn't he? Oh, he is. He's going to approach you. Is what your strongest point? I don't think so. He's going to approach you where you're weakest. Let me tell you something else. Don't put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be weak. Okay? What do you mean? Well, it may be a book you read. There may be a television program you're watching. There may be somebody on the telephone that you talk to. And you know, before you talk to them, you're going to gossip. Well, you almost know anyway, don't you? Pretty good idea, you are. You ever do that? You know you're going to be tempted. Because you know, just about, how the conversation is probably going to go. So So you place yourself in a situation where you're tempted. Kind of like walking by them Oreos, isn't it? Look over there. You're tempted. Say, well, it's more than that. I know it's more than that. That's just an illustration. How we're tempted by things. We're tempted. Tempted by other people. Peer pressure, we call it. You call that peer pressure? Well, let me tell you something. You can have peer pressure all your life, I think. I know I read like that. Somebody got to be 104. They said, one good thing about being 104 is that what's this? No peer pressure. So, I don't know. But it seems like you have peer pressure all your life if you let it. But you young people here today, you got to have a mind of your own. You have. Absolutely. You got to learn to say no. Because there's going to be plenty of people out there that's going to try to lead you astray. And when your mind is properly trained, you use your good, I might teach you to say that old good gray matter between your ears. You know, Paul talked about that over in Philippians. About verse 9 of chapter 1 Philippians. He said, and this I pray. Notice what Paul said, I pray for. He don't say a thing about I pray that you be healthy, that you make more money, and have a better car. He said, this I pray. This is what I pray about. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all J-U-D-G-M-E-N-T. What does that spell? Judgment. So I want you to have knowledge to have what? Good judgment. Okay? So there are going to be things you have to say no to. You're going to make good judgment. You're going to make good decisions. That you may approve things that are excellent. Okay? You want your kids to do that, don't you? Sure you do. Approve what? Things that are excellent. You don't want to approve things that are wrong or sinful. You don't want them approving of that. Absolutely not. Approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. So Paul kind of puts in those two verses right there. How to live, really. He really just kind of puts it in a nutshell, we might say. Just I pray about you that you may grow, that your love may abound, grow in knowledge and making good judgments. And friends, if you're going to, you don't want to be on this merry-go-round of sin. So keep jumping off and then jumping back on the sinful merry-go-round. You get off sometimes, you feel better about being off, don't you? You feel better about yourself. You feel closer to God. You feel more like you when you pray to God, He hears you. But then you hop back on the merry-go-round again, there you go. And sin again. You don't want to do that. You want to have knowledge that you may approve things that are excellent. Make good judgments. So you don't want to, remember God's your help, but don't place yourself in situations where you're going to be tempted. So, well, you know, I kind of like to go get a suntan, so we're going to go to Florida so nobody's going to see me. Now, hey, who believes that? Any little one don't believe that, do they? Is it that important to you to dress in modesty and what the Bible says about that? Do you know what it says? Women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So you're going to go somewhere where there's a lot of immodest dress is, and you think that's right? Do you really think that's right? Do you really think that's right? I think we'll go to the mountains here.
Okay. Don't replace yourself in places where you'll be tempted to do things like this. You know it's not right. You can't say it is. The Bible tells you that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. I think it applies to a man too. Don't you? Stay away from things that cause you to do evil, cause you to think evil. Be not deceived, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We just feel like we can sit down and watch the worst thing on television or whatever it is, a movie, and we leave unscarred. Don't believe that. Hang on. I don't see spending money to go to the movie anyway. I don't see supporting those people that believe in homosexuality, same-sex marriage. I don't believe in supporting that. I don't. You go on feeling dirty. You spend your money on something like that. What does it cost? $5? $10? I don't even know. But let me tell you what. Just like the Bible says, it's going to corrupt your good manners. Evil communication. Friend, that is a mighty strong communicator. And I tell you what, the Bible gets kind of personal, don't it? It really does. It gets real personal. But what was number one? We talked about tonight. We've got to have a teachable spirit. We can't go out of that and resist the Lord's teaching. We cannot do it, brethren. We've got to have the right spirit about us if we're going to overcome sin. Don't let the devil rule your life. In 2 Peter, if I can okay, it's 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Peter 4 and verse 2. Okay. He talked about Christ suffering for us. Okay? We understand that. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And friends, that verse of Scripture is so powerful to think about what Peter says here. That you don't want to spend your life you don't want to spend your days in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. I want to use something else this man talked to his funeral today about. Something I never really thought about the way he said it. But he said today about Paul's letter to Timothy and what Paul wrote him in 2 Timothy. And he said, you know, I fought a good fight. I kept, I finished the course. I kept the faith. And he said to me, and I think he had a good point about this. He said to me, he's saying, okay, Timothy, he says, now my life has made a mark in this world. My life, let's see just how he put that. He says, I have fulfilled my mission in life. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is in hand. Okay? He says, so Timothy, I'm telling you now, it's up to you to make your life count. I never heard anybody say that in that terms before, but that was a good point. It's up to you. Now, Timothy, I've made my life count. I have made my life count. He talked about a lot of things he gave up. Remember that? He said, I count them but done. What I could have been, what I could have had, Paul said. But now he's saying to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. I have made my life count, Timothy.
And I would believe, and I think you would agree with this, that would have to be a very satisfying feeling to say that about yourself or what Paul said about himself. To know that he had done what he could for the cause of Christ in his life. And friends, you can do the same thing today. You can let your life count. You can. And you can't get back on that merry-go-round of sin. You can't do that. You've got to have a teachable spirit. No matter how old you are, how young you are, you've got to have a teachable spirit. You've got to have temptation. Don't put yourself in places where you're going to be tempted. Just don't do it. Remember, God is your helper. Remember what Jesus says, come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to do your souls. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. James 4 and 7. James says that. Resist the devil. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, hands, your sons, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Overcoming sin. You can do it. I can do it. We can do it through God's help. And he will be with us. He will help us to overcome sin. As we stand tonight and sing an invitational song, if you're not a member of the church, we ask you tonight to come to be baptized. To be born again. Baptized. Immersed in the watery grave of baptism. You must first of all believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And you may be saying, well, that's easy. It is easy. Real easy. You have full faith in that. Full belief in that. No doubts at all. Right. You must believe he is God's Son. Confess that belief by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Don't stay on that merry-go-round. Get off that merry-go-round of sin. Get off of it. Stay off of it. Repent of it. Turn your back on it. Decide tonight you're going to repent of that and not do it anymore. Tonight you can be baptized for forgiveness of your past sins. If you are a member of the church and you've gone away, you've done things that's wrong, come back tonight. Maybe you just want the church to pray for you. That you might be closer to God, might be stronger. You need the prayers. We sing that song. I need the prayers of those I love. You might want to come back tonight and just ask for forgiveness of sins or ask for prayers, whatever it is. In any case, if you come to the front of the standing sign, we'll be glad to assist you.